Chapter 9. Thrown from a Window. Tracy, a 23-year-old woman, had done a lot of living for her age. She was already into heavy drugs, and in order to pay for this habit, she made her living in an unconventional manner. Tracy was admitted to orthopedics with a bilateral fracture of the pelvis, fractures to both legs, a fractured left arm, and fractured ribs. Upon admission, I asked her, "Could you tell me what happened to you?" "Well, I won't tell you exactly, but I can tell you the man I was with had more demands than I was prepared to meet for the price he agreed on. He became very angry with me. He got out of bed, opened the window, and looked down. I thought he was going to jump out the window. Was I ever wrong?" He said, "I am going to teach you a lesson. If you survive, that is." He then lifted me off the bed and threw me right out the window. Just like that, and two stories down. "Oh, no," I said. "You are lucky you are still alive." "Yes, that's what the doctor said, too," she commented. Her pelvis was put in traction, which caused her a lot of pain. In spite of all the fractures, she didn't appear all that shocked. She had been thrown out of a window once before, but from less of a height, and she had only suffered a fractured foot that time. "You are a tough girl, I must say," I said. Sometimes her demeanor made me think she must have been given a very strong sedative. This girl wasn't born yesterday. She must have gotten hold of street drugs. I became suspicious as to her visitors and the money she seemed to be collecting. It was sticking out of her bedside table. "But how could she?" I said to myself. Of course, there were other ways, and Tracy knew the other ways. I distanced myself as much as I could and let female staff take care of her. After a few months, she learned to walk again. She was barely on her feet and thought she was once again ready to walk the street. I talked her out of it. 2 weeks went by. I took her vital signs and noticed the heavy makeup on her face and purple nail polish she was wearing. She didn't ask for my permission. She just took off. We did, however, have some productive talks during her stay in the hospital. We discussed the danger of smoking and taking street drugs. "Yes, you warned me once before, a long time ago," she said. "Did I? I can't remember," I replied. Then she reminded me of the things I had said. She had deteriorated so much since then. No wonder I couldn't remember. The people you meet on the street are not interested in you, but only interested in your body. Now let go of this street life and start a new life before it is too late. You could end up with hepatitis or HIV, or die of an overdose of drugs. I kept on, telling her, "There are a lot of dangers on the street. Just read the newspapers and you know what is happening." I could tell she was listening, but the drive or desire for a quick fix was still there. She said in a timid voice, "Thank you for talking to me. I will not forget what you have been telling me, or the first time you spoke to me." When she went back to the street, I thought it was a lost cause. But lo and behold, who showed up about a year later? Tracy. I couldn't believe it. "Well, Gerald, the good news is I am drug-free now, and I am not a girl of the streets anymore. I got the help I needed thanks to your advice. This admission is for a hernia operation, so nothing major," she said. You are looking way better, Tracy, I said. I am very pleased to hear how well things turned out for you. This is a miracle indeed. She told me, I have support from my parents again, and they are helping out financially with my education. I am getting my grade 12, and then I want to attend college, or whatever they think is suitable to take, she said. This is wonderful, Tracy. I can't believe it. But it is true, she said. Good luck. You made my day. And thank you for all the help, she said. You are very welcome, I responded.